Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And, you know, how do you enjoy prosperity? Well, you do all the stuff that got you there in the first place.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All the little things, you know. It's not some deal where you I'll get in trouble for this, I'm certain, but
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Where you know, instead of playing hard and getting a first down and getting a play, then, you know, you want to sit behind a shade tree, eat a fish sandwich, and drink a lemonade with your fat little girlfriend.
And Brendan Sprague.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. Well, then, we marched it downfield.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. As we are most days. We are today.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today.
We are having a lot of fun, and we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. I have some fun with audio to get to with you, one coach that I hope you feel the same about as I do, because he pissed me off again this weekend.
Ah, what sport?
College football. There was a coach in college football that just had... I didn't watch a second of his game. I didn't see any of it. I saw how it ended, and I saw the comments from the coach, and I wanted to break my television.
I'm curious to see if I know who you're talking about there. I watched college, but I didn't watch as many games as I normally do, given I was at the coast.
Yeah, you're out of town this weekend. Yeah. We have audio from a fight on an airplane that we can get to as well. That happened this weekend, so we got a lot to get to.
I would have thought the coach of that team was in a really good mood after what happened this past week.
Would have thought
his
so,
team
too.
Wouldn't be fighting each other.
Maybe that's why they were fighting each other. Their coach thought that. Let's get to the world of college football from the weekend. Bigger storyline for you, Georgia losing 28-10 at Ole Miss and looking inept offensively again, despite getting a pick on their opening drive and then scoring an opening touchdown.
Right.
They were outscored 28-3 the rest of the way, or Miami, who was once an unbeaten, no longer being an unbeaten and running into the swarm that is the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech.
Yeah, how about Haynes and Georgia Tech in the postgame? Couldn't even hear the first question. Ha!
What are you talking about? Ran the ball, was the number on this game. Georgia Tech ran the ball on Miami for 271 yards.
I want to say the question was something the effect of how his quarterback played, and his only answer was, yeah, he showed up.
From Brett Key. I didn't see the post-game interview. That's what he said. Showed up.
He showed up.
Shout out. Okay. Brett Key, man, he's having Brent Key. Is it Brent Key or Brett Key?
I think it's Brent Key.
Brent Key. Yeah. His numbers against ranked opponents, pretty solid.
He causes havoc, for sure.
He's upsetting people. He's having a good little year there at Georgia Tech.
That was a fun win for them, and to celebrate that way. It's easily got to be Georgia, though. The SEC gets all the benefit. Nobody questions a team that loses twice. And they got, not only after that start, but like they got embarrassed by Ole Miss. I thought Ole Miss took it to them.
They did.
And Beck, again, the bigger reason why it's Georgia is, one, it's their second loss in the year. They may lose to Tennessee. And three losses for Georgia. Goodbye. You can laugh at that all you want.
I will laugh at that.
No chance.
I will laugh.
Not a chance. No, not with the way college football has gone this year.
Mark that down at 8:07. When three-loss Georgia gets in over undefeated BYU, you're going to lose your mind.
Not a chance in hell. Like, first of all, that would be unprecedented.
It's like undefeated Florida State got left out. No way that'll happen.
Not the same thing.
ACC champion.
There's not just four teams anymore. We got 12.
Well, that's why we have room for three loss teams.
So you think they lose to Tennessee, they're going to get in?
I don't know if they're going to get in. I don't think it's a 0% chance.
Oh, wow. I think it's 0% chance. And that's why it's a bigger deal to me. Also, hold this take for later on in the season because it may age poorly. They can't win a title. They cannot win a title with that guy. Hmm. That guy cannot stop throwing the football to other teams.
He was awful this weekend.
And I'm sorry, that doesn't suddenly stop. He clearly is not an NFL quarterback, and good luck to any team that talks themselves because he has good workout or combine workout or measurements. I've seen him walk in a suit. He ain't a franchise quarterback. Hold that one, too.
Okay.
They cannot win a national championship with him as the quarterback. And I'd be honest with you, I don't know what their backup situation is. I'm a little surprised he's not going to a backup.
I believe their backup is Jaden Rashada from Arizona State.
He played last year.
He did.
Put him in. What are we doing here? He cannot stop throwing interceptions. You can't win national championships throwing to the other team.
No.
So for me, Miami losing might have been inevitable with their defense and their offense having these lulls at certain points. The bigger story is Georgia having their second loss now. They got to play Tennessee. I just think a third loss is going to eliminate them from the playoff, and I don't think they can win a title with that guy anyway.
Yeah, there's definitely that vibe this year where this is who their offense is. It has not changed, and you've kind of been waiting. Will they ever hit another gear? And they haven't. I was trying to think of a quarterback comp for him, and the only one that I could come up with, and maybe there's another one that you guys can think of, was Matt Barkley, a guy who, if he would have left as a junior, would have been a first-round pick, was thought of like, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like, Carson Beck came into the year maybe as the number one NFL draft prospect at that position.
He was.
At least in the mix to be the number one overall pick in the draft this year. And any NFL GM that takes that guy with a first-round pick should be fired on the spot.
I'd argue the first four rounds.
Like, this isn't, he's not playing at Wyoming like Josh Allen. You could be like, well, his numbers aren't great, but, you know, he's at Georgia, and they might not have the best wide receiver room in the NFL, but he's playing with nothing but four- and five-star guys. They can't run the football. That was the other thing from this weekend, that at least you can try to be balanced offensively. They averaged, and now counting sack yardage, that's part of this, 1.8 yards per carry as a team. I think when you take the sack yardage out, it was like 2.9 yards per carry. And they can't throw. I mean, their offense is horrendous. And so they have to win games by doing what they did against Texas. And they won that game because they forced so many turnovers in Texas's territory that their offense only had to go 30 or 40 yards in order to score touchdowns in that game. And now try and figure out, answer me this off the top of your head, who's the best team in the SEC?
I think that's a beautiful mystery.
Like, if you had to pick somebody right now to win the SEC, who would you pick?
Well, what I love about it is they're an elite Big 12. The Big 12 gets crapped on every day of every week about how there's no real elite team, and is it BYU, is it Colorado, is it whoever?
Iowa State, Kansas State.
And the SEC will always get the benefit because of the natties they've won and the talent they recruit, but they're dealing with the same problem.
They don't have an elite team, or they don't have one team that's head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of these teams are good. Like, Ole Miss is a good football team.
Is it Texas? But they...
They got embarrassed in their own building and had to bench Quinn Ewers against that Georgia team that you're saying can't win a national championship. Is it Alabama who lost to Vanderbilt, but they maybe are hitting their stride late in the year? Is it Ole Miss? Is Ole Miss the best team in the SEC?
I don't know.
Tennessee?
Tennessee, they might not have their starting quarterback. He left this weekend, and they had a month stretch where they couldn't score a point in the first half.
Can I tell you who Beck is reminding me of?
Like, Tennessee, like, you can say that Tennessee's not mark this one down for a hot take. Tennessee will not beat Georgia in Athens this weekend. They will not win that football game. So go file that one away for next Monday, a week from today. Remember that. Freshman quarterback on the road against that defense coming off a loss. It will
be
ugly.
That defense is pretty nasty.
I'm not saying it's going to be high scoring. Yeah. That game will be 13-9 as a final. He is not going to go light up that Georgia. He will not do that. He might not even play, by the way. He got hurt in their win over Mississippi State this weekend.
It might end up being a benefit for them.
And if that happens, by the way, we might be on the brink of five teams in the college football playoff from the SEC. Just keep that in mind.
Because all the other rules of other conferences...
Because you could have two-loss Bama, two-loss Georgia, two-loss Ole Miss. It would be two-loss Tennessee, and they would all have Texas. Like, they would all have rotating wins and losses against each other.
That's why you should be rooting for Indiana. Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon get in from the Big Ten.
Are those four Big Ten
Penn
teams
State.
In?
If Indiana gets smoked, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they left Indiana out. If they get smoked by Ohio State in 2 weeks,
would it be 11-1?
It would be 11-1 Indiana or a two-loss Ole Miss team who just had that win over Georgia.
But lost at home to...
I know. I know.
Unranked Kentucky.
We all know how this is going to go.
Oh, I know. I'm just. But the Big Ten is a little different.
The Big Ten has four teams.
Indiana's not Big Ten. Indiana,
we probably learned that.
They're like a mid-major team. Okay, let's be honest here.
Look, I know the numbers may not bear this out, given what his last year was. But in terms of the hype and how he's played, Beck has real Christian Hackenberg all over.
Hackenberg's another good one.
That was one that stuck out to me watching that game. Is the last quarterback that came in with this hype. That I'm like, oh, he's going to tear it up. And then instantly was like, dud.
His number
was Christian Hackenberg.
Last year, he completed 72% of his passes.
This is Beck.
Beck, 9.5 yard per attempt. So good number. 24 touchdowns, 6 picks, 167 QB rating. All those things solid. This year, 72% completion percentage down to 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yard per attempt from 9.5 down to 7.8. His touchdown, he's already doubled his interception total from all of last season. He threw 6 last year. He's already thrown 12 this year. And his quarterback rating has plummeted from 167 down to 140. He's bad. And their offense is terrible.
His last year, Hackenberg, by the way, his completion percentage was absolute dog
he
crap.
He was so bad in college.
Another Jets draft pick,
if I'm not mistaken. The Jets fans tried to talk themselves into him being the guy.
He had 14 touchdowns and 6 picks. Hackenberg.
God, that's bad.
Yeah, Barkley was 17 and 12.
Barkley's the only other one I can remember where he had that year at USC with Kiffin. They beat Oregon late in the year, and it was all that
back.
Buzz. You're like, oh, God, he's coming. And then they lost to Stanford in like week two right out of the gate, and he was terrible and no longer a first-round pick.
I'm curious because this is Kirby's guy, but like at what point is it going to...
Yeah.
Maybe Rashada just, he sees him every day, and it's Kirby Smart, so let's give him the benefit here. How many more games can you watch a quarterback throw multiple interceptions, throw to the other team, and look awful?
It's not good right now.
He had 2 touchdowns and 3 picks against Florida. He had no touchdowns and a pick against Ole Miss. Like, what are we waiting on?
Terrible in the win over Texas. They just won that game, so it was masked.
How about the Alabama game?
Alabama game, he lost it for him, arguably, in the first half of that game. Like, oof. They get Tennessee this weekend. I might be wrong on that. We'll wait and see. They get Tennessee at home.
What was it for you, Miami or Georgia?
I think it was Georgia losing the way that they did. I never really looked at Miami as a legitimate contender. Miami's been playing with fire all year. Not shocked in the least that they lost that game.
Do they have another loss on their schedule, I think, is the question.
Well, that's the other thing of that loss being impactful is that if they now lose, they're likely still going to go to the ACC title game.
Like, although, they can't lose at Syracuse.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. But if they are a one-loss team going into the ACC title game and they lose that game to SMU or Clemson, whoever it ends up being, they're not going to the playoff. I know they like brands, but they don't have a quality win. They will put a 2 or 3 loss SEC team over Miami any day of the week. With the resumes that they have and the lack of quality wins from Miami.
Swag, 3 loss Georgia this year. 0% chance. What percent chance of making the playoff?
10.
God.
Well, we heard Heather Dinich say after the first one.
3 loss Georgia.
They have a blowout win over ranked Clemson. They have a dominant win on the road against Texas, who's likely going to win the SEC, although
who knows. It depends on what those two teams, where they end up in the final rankings. And if Clemson somehow sneaks their way into the ACC title game.
What if they win the ACC and you have a 30-point win over a conference champion and Texas could win the SEC and you have a dominant win against the SEC champ in their
disgusting.
Building?
Well, Heather Dinich
brings West Coast honesty here and you bias SEC honks.
I mean, we're being honest. You're living in a fantasy land over there.
History of the final rankings.
Ridiculous.
There was a 3-loss team.
Yeah.
Every year in the top that made the top 10 since they started
and
doing.
How many of those times was the team from the SEC? Almost every time,
I'd
imagine.
Probably more often than not.
Yeah, I can't imagine another conference getting that benefit of the doubt.
I just don't know how many of these teams are going to lose more than 2 games that are in the current standings.
Yeah, here's the
and
fun.
That's the difficult thing.
Here's the fun thing for you to play, too. Just look at the SEC standings. We can ask who's going to win the SEC. Good luck. Everybody's just taking a blindfolded dart throw.
It's a dart.
The tiebreaker scenarios are absolute chaos in that conference.
Well, the Big 12 has one,
Big 12
too,
as well.
The Big 10 for a while.
The SEC right now, you legitimately, Tennessee, I think, will lose this weekend. That'll be 2 losses. I think Texas is going to beat Texas A&M. So you would have a 2-loss Tennessee, 2-loss Texas A&M, 2-loss Georgia, 2-loss Ole Miss, 2-loss Alabama, 2-loss Missouri, and 2-loss LSU. They all have 2 conference losses. Who goes?
Well, Notre Dame still being in this is a good thing for this. And Indiana and BYU, Like, we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I want to get to them coming up next, including, well, mainly one of them, because they won a game in a way that was very controversial. The ADS comments.
Got all pissed.
Some wrap-up thoughts on the college football weekend. Also, some fun with audio in the next segment. And then we'll dive into what happened, the abomination that happened last night over at One Center Court at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Well, I've felt this way for a while, and I think it was solidified this weekend. I have identified my least favorite person in college football. And it's, I don't even know if it's close, to be honest with you.
Really?
There is a team that won this weekend that is somehow ranked in the top 25 that shouldn't be ranked. They have played two ranked opponents this year. In those games, they were outscored 41-10 and 34-0.
Ooh.
The two times they have played a ranked opponent, they have been outscored 41-10, 34-0.
I know who this is.
Their best win on the year.
Yeah.
Best win on the year is probably a 30-27 overtime win over Vanderbilt. They won a game this weekend in one of the most miraculous ways you will ever see.
Yeah.
And here is their dumbass head coach in the post-game interview.
What does this do for your football team moving forward? I know you know about your team. You know about their demeanor. What does this do for you moving forward from now?
It gives us another win. Keeps us in the playoff hunt. That's right. I said it. Playoff hunt.
Thanks.
M-I-Z.
Thanks, coach.
I hate Eli Drinkwitz with every fiber of my being. I can't stand this guy. Wow. He's a slime ball. He's going to bail on that university the first chance he gets.
Wow.
They have beaten nobody with the pulse, and I hope they go to South Carolina this coming weekend, and they just get gobbled up by the Gamecocks, man. This guy... I saw this clip floating around on Twitter.
Gobbled up by the Cox.
You have no quality wins, and you have played two good teams on your schedule all year, and you were outscored, what's the math on that, 75-10 in two games? And you try and give me that crap in a post-game interview?
What did you expect him to say? His team's in the top 25. He's in the SEC.
I saw this.
You want to?
Not
no,
even close.
No.
Deion Sanders used to be this, but he's actually turned. He's toned it down a little bit. This guy is a public enemy number one.
I'm gonna flip this on you. You want to defend
it on
Mr.
Me.
SEC?
No, there's no flip
day.
Here. No flip here.
You can't hate this. This is who they are. Can you blame them for thinking they're in the playoff at 6-2? They're in the top 25.
There's no chance. There's zero world that exists.
Oh, now it's zero.
This is Missouri. This is Missouri, not Georgia. You think there's a slight difference there? Did Missouri go on the road and beat Texas at Texas?
Would he take?
Did Missouri blow out Clemson in the opening game of the season?
Would he take the Oklahoma job? Because they're going to fire Venables.
Probably.
That's inevitable.
Probably would.
Is Oklahoma a better job than Missouri?
Yes, I think that it is.
Even being in the SEC?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more history there. There's more success there.
Yeah, I don't really need to say much. I thought what you said was pretty funny. I don't know. Is Eli Drinkwitz the most hateable person in college football?
Just face, too. He just has a punchable face on top of it, too. And he rants about issues in college athletics when he's just like transfer portal crap.
Boy, you really don't like this
guy. I can't stand this guy, dude. I can't.
You know, the minute I thought he was a little off was the minute he did a hit on game day earlier this year. He was in the stadium and they had like a drone. And he weirdly was like, hey, Kirk, I know you got banned, but I got a robot dog. And I was like... Ugh.
Yeah.
You don't even have a real dog. You got a robot dog.
Trying to be funny and he's not funny.
People who don't like or have dogs, I got a weird thing about
this. This is now an anti-Missouri show. So sorry if there's any Missouri fans listening. We are now officially anti-Missouri.
Dude, how did they win that game?
Because the Oklahoma quarterback, Jackson Arnold, fumbled with 30 seconds. They scored two touchdowns in 12 seconds. And then you come out and you puff your chest after a win like that.
A win is a win.
Look at us, baby, playoff. Like, no, you're terrible. Anyways, I digress. South Carolina, do the world a favor this weekend.
South Carolina, nice little story in college football.
Now in the top 25. They're having a good little year, man.
Bill Orm, you have to answer if you don't
have
them in your
top
25.
He did. I checked his top 25 yesterday. Okay. I was going to hold Bill accountable there.
Okay.
We also had this after a game this weekend.
For 12 years, this game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight. Thank you.
Well, actually, Mark, you didn't win the game. You lost 22-21. That's the way outcomes work. No matter the calls that exist throughout the course of a game, they didn't score a point in the second half. That is the Utah athletic director, Mark Harlan.
Mark Harlan, yeah.
Who
he's been there for a minute.
Also got a penalty on the field in the aftermath of this game where he was yelling at the official on the sideline, walked out onto the field yelling at the official.
Mm-hmm.
He got a penalty at the conclusion of the game, which didn't matter because the game was over. And BYU, somehow, some way, is still they. It doesn't make any sense. It's not that good of a football team. They very easily could be like 6-3 at this point in the year.
Yeah.
And again, they found a way this weekend and won a game in which they looked horrible in the first half and then outscored Utah 12-0 in the second half.
So I want to paint a scenario for you. The winner of the conference is going to get an auto bid.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, is the committee going to give it to Boise State or a two-loss potentially Colorado team, which nice win for Colorado this weekend.
They were down 13-0 and stormed back and won that game.
You know,
game.
Think about Deion. He is loud. He capes up for his guys. He's rubbed people the wrong way. The one thing I've noticed about him from last year and to this year, I do feel like he gives a lot of respect to the opposing coaches.
I do too.
And maybe you want to point to the TCU game. That's fine. Whatever. I get a vibe that he really does respect a lot of those guys in the profession. That was a good win. Is a BYU one-loss team that loses in their conference title game not making the playoff?
I don't think they're making the playoff.
So they go
12-0 in the regular season.
12-0 in the regular
lose
season.
Lose in this scenario to Colorado. Yes. I don't think that they're making the playoff. I don't. Okay. I don't.
Well, then we're talking about a very broken system. Because yep. I don't think BYU, but like the resume and the results, no matter how my feelings feel, it should matter that they go maybe through the regular season undefeated, even if it is eking by the, like, should not have beaten Kansas State. That was, or no, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State was the one that they won in an absolute miracle at the last
like
second.
The two big plays and
the Baylor game was lucky, I shouldn't say, but they barely beat Baylor. Yeah. They edged out a close game over SMU 18-15. And this one, for me, was up late watching this game on Saturday night. They had no business winning this
so,
game.
So, like, I largely don't disagree with the rhetoric on them, but if you go 12-0 and you only lose in your conference title game to a, what I think we'd all say is a good Colorado team.
Colorado's good this year.
I don't know why you should be punished for not making the expanded playoff other than I don't like their conference. That's the logic and that's the rhyme and reason because the resume and results, that has to matter. And a 12-1 team with their only loss in the conference title game should be making it. But again, you're largely right. I put a poll question up. Do you hate Eli Drinkwitz? I CC'd you. Yes, guy's a phony. No, don't think about him.
Go vote on that. Support me, people. Eli Drinkwitz is a bitch. I see your point here. I do.
I think Eli Drinkwitz would beat you in a fight.
I don't think so. He's got a chubby face. He's old. No chance, dude. How much is that? He's like 5'7". No chance.
How would you and Swag do in a fight? Who would I pick there?
He's got more reach than I do. He's
Swag
taller.
Swag has crazy eyes. Now that he doesn't wear glasses
crazy
anymore,
eyes.
He's kind of got crazy eyes.
I have more grounded strength than Jason Swigard does.
Oh, yes.
I feel like I could get him on the ground. That would be my... He's got a longer... I couldn't box him. He's got too long of a reach for me. I couldn't reach him.
I'd have to duck under. Just keep jabbing.
He's at the jab.
Keep jabbing.
And I'd have to try and get him on the ground and use my body weight to get him in some sort of grapple and not let him free.
I'm afraid of what crazy fight Swigard is. He may want to slow cook and barbecue sauce you. Like he may be motivated to try eating a dirt rig.
He's going to take a finger. Like, hey, what are you doing there, man? Give me my finger back. I see your larger point. Don't necessarily disagree with it. Would you rather watch a one-loss BYU team or a...
It can't be that way.
I know, I hate that.
It absolutely
it is that
cannot
way. It is
be
that way.
That way.
But also, like, we
I
can do the whole... Deserve, this is the hardest part about college football.
Yes.
Is that everybody plays a different schedule. Like, we can bemoan the SEC and what they
That's
do all
the
we
fundamental
want.
Problem
if BYU
right now.
Had to go to Texas, play Georgia at home, and a road trip to LSU and Ole Miss on their schedule, are they going undefeated?
No.
No. So that's the hard part of if a team is surviving that with two losses, but they have multiple quality wins on their schedule, and you say it's a one-loss BYU or a two-loss, let's say Ole Miss, who just smoked Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I see the argument on both sides. I do. As a fan, I would rather Ole Miss get in than BYU.
I know.
Are we going to get to the point now, where we're going to see football coaches and ADs start to leak that, hey, we propose to play such and such. Like, That's how the Big 12 and the ACC can get at the SEC and the Big 10. It's like, hey, we were willing to go and play there. They didn't even want to have us come for a one-off in their stadium to play them.
Full-time officials, union player contracts, so the portal's calmed a little bit.
And uniform scheduling are the three biggest easy fixes to
that sport that they will just continue to kick the can on. I don't really understand it. It may cause... I would be afraid of what the Mormons would do if that scenario played out, that their one loss is in the conference title game. They got through their schedule undefeated in the regular season, and it's given to an Ole Miss team that was a very good win.
Mm-hmm.
Many people doubted they'd win that game. They also lost at home to a mediocre to bad Kentucky team.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Kentucky is a mediocre team this year.
And I also don't know, depending on which Ole Miss team you're talking about, how you're differentiating what you'd rather watch. What if I get the Kentucky Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Or the Oklahoma Ole Miss?
Yeah. It's not a wrong argument.
Those weren't fun teams to watch.
No.
So it sucks that that's what this is, but it is.
And their argument will be, you will always have a seat at the table if you win your conference championship. And that's what you need to do in order to get
Except for the SEC.
The SEC and Big Ten will always play by their own. Will play by their own rules. Let's get to your Portland Trailblazers. A banner night for Chauncey Billups last night. We got some audio what he said after the game. Did you sleep last night? We'll talk about that next. Well, let's ask the hard-hitting questions as our segment continued into the break. The playoff, man. It's going to be fascinating this year. Starting just alone with deciding tiebreakers for conference championship games.
They're pretty wild if you read into
that's them. The first bananas move, and then one lost team from this conference, two lost team from that conference, just...
Miami and Clemson don't play in the regular season, and Miami has the tiebreaker over Clemson.
They do, and SMU doesn't play either of them either.
Yeah.
And they're all in the mix in the ACC.
First place SMU, by the way.
Yes, they are. Who
Shout
lost to your BYU Cougars?
Yes, they did.
That's their only loss of the year. They
actually
might win the
ACC. Surprisingly got beat in that game pretty candidly.
They were bad early, and they've gotten better as the year has gone on. Hard-hitting questions we ask on this show. Did you sleep last night, or are you a loser?
No, I woke up twice.
Okay, not a loser.
I actually woke up twice, too.
Yeah.
I slept like a baby.
I didn't sleep. I just woke up.
I think I'm a loser because I slept like a baby.
I'm at a point in my life and age where I'm, not getting bad sleep. I just happen to wake up at 1:30 to 2 a.m. every night.
Every night.
And for a brief second, I'm like, how close to my alarm is it? And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I got a couple more hours.
I think that's what happens when you got to wake up early every day for work. It's just natural. You're just like, all right, that's the way it's going to be today. Here is the head coach of your Portland Trailblazers after their thrilling performance last night.
I told them that anybody that sleeps well tonight, you're a loser. It's just that simple. You're a loser. You sleep well after this one, you're a loser.
We need the you're a loser as a drop.
That definitely needs to be a drop.
That's very good energy.
This stat from Curtis Long, I saw this, you quote tweeted it. After tonight, the Trailblazers have now lost 9 games by at least 45 points in franchise history. They lost by 45 again last night, for those of you who didn't wander over during Sunday Night Football.
Now the fun part of the stat.
4 of those have come in the last 4 seasons. The Blazers have been in existence for how long, Jason Swigart? What was their first year, 1973? 4?
No, 71.
71. Yeah. Thank
so
you.
50, I think this is the 54th season.
54th season. It's happened 9 times. 4 of the 9 have come in the last 4 seasons. And they again lost
the coach,
by 45.
Been the coach.
I think it's Chauncey Billups, if I'm not mistaken. But guys play hard for him.
I mean, it was just embarrassing, to be honest with you. Mm. We were soft as hell the whole game.
Yeah.
Nobody really fought. It was just embarrassing for everybody.
What's the coach's job?
That's just not who we are. It really isn't. There's no excuse for that.
Not at all.
Have a lot of rough nights in this league, obviously.
For sure.
Some teams more.
But I don't even care. It just wasn't even that. You know, it was like our guys just showed up because they had to be here but didn't want to play.
One of the biggest things you hear in this market, because everybody knows what the season is and was going to be going in. So it's not necessarily the result of a win or a loss that's surprising, okay?
I mean, I was happy that they lost the game. They had a nice weekend.
Well, sure.
3-8.
I do think there are layers to it. This is not as cut and dry as hey, it's this or it's that, and don't complain if it's this, if that's what you want. I would love to do a dive, and maybe I'll do this tonight. Over the span of the 4 years, how many times the Pistons, the Hornets, and the Bullets.
Three of the worst teams in the league.
And have been for a
you
long time.
You have bullets on us there. Look at you, flashback.
Nice. Sorry.
Dreaming
for
about,
a second, I was
dreaming
like,
about Wes Unseld,
did
Mitch
they change
Kupchak,
their name back?
Kevin
did I
Greavy,
miss that?
I understand
Mark
gun
Ballard.
Is a thing, but yeah. I kind of miss the bullets. Yeah. The bullets.
Bullets is a good name.
I would love to go in and see how many times those teams collectively over 4 years have lost by even 40.
Just go 40
or more. I'll go five points less. I'll go look that up today after
the
show.
How many 60-point losses did they have?
Look, Mike Richmond said this on his pod, so I'm going to give him some credit here. And he said, I'm not going to do the whole fire. You need to fire the coach and this guy and that guy thing because that's boring. And then he proceeded to basically say, this isn't good. You can sit here and tweet. And I saw this on my Twitter. I saw it on the show Twitter. Well, I thought we were capturing the flag. You leave it. It's exactly what we want. Is it? You've got your starting point guard quiet quitting. Anthony Simons. If we're going to be critical of other guys in Blazer past, and we certainly on this show have been.
Absolutely.
CJ McCollum.
One of the most overrated Blazers of all time.
It's probably the biggest outlier for us to the listeners is the listeners loved that dude. If we're going to be critical of those guys, what are we going to be saying about this guy?
Anthony Simons was 2 of 9 last night. He's shooting 30% from 3 on the year. His numbers are his like worst of his career.
Like, go look at his Minnesota game, by the way, Saturday.
He was terrible.
Absolutely destroyed. Scoot Henderson. I would say pretty big year, everybody agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
He had some flashes early and has looked nothing the part. We're playing Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, and Anthony Simons on the floor last night against a Grizzly team that didn't have Desmond Bane and Ja Morant.
Nope.
At one point, they were playing, let me see if I can find this
Scottie
real quick.
Scottie Pippen Jr. was in their starting
Scottie
lineup.
Scottie Pippen Jr. Hold on, Scottie Pippen Jr.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that was
okay. They were playing Jalen Wells, rookie from Washington State.
Yeah.
They were playing Jake LaRavia.
Big fan of his.
I promise you, you've never heard of Jake LaRavia.
Big fan. I've watched his game forever.
And Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And they outscored our veteran group like 10 to 2.
They did.
And you can tell me that, like, hey, we need a tank. Okay, that's fine. Your point guard has quit on you. Your team largely doesn't care about each other. I kept hearing about how important it was for veterans. That mentorship doesn't seem to be paying off in any way.
Nope.
And your coach's offense is play one-on-one or set a screen and everybody stand around and watch.
Yep.
You can argue that losing is the right thing to do, and I won't argue against it. What I will say is you have to care about development at some level, and none of that is happening.
Thank you.
None of that is happening.
You want to know what
your coach is a point guard, and you need your second
franchise
year point guard.
Yeah.
To be a franchise point guard, and he's showing no growth. So, like, what are you pointing to that's a positive from Chauncey Billups?
You know what the biggest frustration for me was over the weekend? So they played on Friday, as well as you mentioned. They lost by 25 to Minnesota.
Saturday, Friday.
So they lost by 25 to end that road trip and then had the game, obviously, last night, which they lost by 45 points. Now, maybe this is just a ramp-up thing for him, but the thing that made me roll my eyes the most this weekend is that Donovan Klingon's two biggest minute games of the year came in blowout losses. now he can play 19 or 17 minutes
and
in a game.
He's got the conditioning
now we
it,
can get him out there for a couple of more minutes late in the second half, but we can't do it in the fourth quarter.
Well, they have Zach
when we're trying to develop a young guy and maybe get him a look and get a stop or, hey, let's figure out how we want to play in these situations. Like, none of that. I think what has been on full display for me is this year is my biggest complaint coming in, and I'm going to be a broken record on it all year until it changes. I don't know what the goal is, and I don't know what your coach wants to accomplish.
I don't know what the team is.
You're playing veterans who don't seem to really care or want to be here. Anthony Simons is horrible. And you can argue until you're blue in the face that you need to play these guys to up their draft value. I would argue Anthony Simons' draft value was plummeted this year.
You mean the trade value?
Trade value. What did I say?
Draft value.
Thank you.
Weird.
Trade value has plummeted this year. Jeremy Grant, you want 2 firsts for him. Are you trading two firsts for that right now? No, I wouldn't. And maybe somebody's dumb and desperate. I'm not giving up 2 firsts for that. So how long are these guys going to stick around and play and continue to take away minutes from guys who need a different look?
What is Ayton, by the way? Well,
Robert Williams is now taking minutes from Donovan Klingon as well because you got to get his trade value up in order to deal him and make sure that he looks healthy.
His value is staying healthy.
I just don't understand what we're doing here. Anthony Simons said at exit interviews, I don't want to be here.
Chauncey Billups. He didn't say that.
I
want to win.
Which
Let's
we're
not
winning.
Into that. Yeah, I
we're
know,
not winning. Everybody knows we're not going
to
win.
He refuses to ask out, and the problem is he's quiet quitting.
And we have a head coach who we know isn't the guy, and we all know he's going to be gone, and you decided in the offseason to keep him, and nobody's shocked at this. Is happening. Like, ultimately, whatever, you lose, but
sure,
there needs to be things along the way that you're trying to accomplish, and he has not shown the ability, Chauncey Billups as a coach, to develop your young guys. And that is the only thing that you can accomplish this year, is lose as many games as possible and develop your young guys. He hasn't shown that as ability as a head coach.
How many times has he given that press conference?
I've heard that same answer 74 times.
Yeah, same.
In his coaching career.
Looks like we quit. We didn't want to, you know, show up and play. And
that's your job.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm watching that game last night, and it's, I've already not felt great about him coming back. I thought that was a massive mistake. You can sit here and argue, certainly, until you're blue in the face, that you just want to lose all the games, and you're cool with that. That's fine. I also want them to get a good pick. I don't want the growth of the young players stunted because the brand of basketball they're playing is not good basketball.
Yes.
I watched that Grizzly team last night, and what I notice is a team playing a brand of basketball. Yes, I see your hand, dude. It's not going to speed what I'm saying up. It's not conducive to a good future. Yeah. Or I've probably made a word up there. It's not productive for their growth, is what I'm saying. And you can sit here and say, lose the games, who cares? Cool. And then if Scoot doesn't get better, what are you saying next year? If Shaden doesn't get better, what are you saying next year? I think how you play should matter a little bit. And right now, it's just, I don't know what that is.
We got a poll question up. Do you want him to fire old Chance? We'll answer those results. We'll get you set for Monday Night Football and a little fun with audio to wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, we got some poll questions to answer. Are we excited for Monday Night Football? Wrap it up there.
By the way, we didn't even mention in all that stuff the guy they traded a veteran point guard in 2 first-round picks yesterday got benched. They put Denny on the bench.
They did. He's had a really rough start to his year.
Woof.
And this, again, gets back to the minutes problem, where I'm glad Kamara's staying in the starting lineup. He's been one of the few bright spots for you this year.
And it's an interesting thing to have Kamara and needing him develop, and also you traded all that for Denny.
For Denny. And it's,
It's early.
It's early. Yeah, I mean, look, bad games are going to happen. I just think I think games like that highlight...
A lot of bad games have happened.
They're going to happen, right? Like, I just think it highlights, like, what are we trying to accomplish this year? Like, what? And this has been my overarching...
People just say lose games, Dirt. We did that.
But it's not about just lose. And that's where there has to be some sort of substance mixed in with losing games. There has to be... Who are they developing? Which one of their young guys... Kamara, you can give me, has gotten better since he got here. Outside of that, who has gotten better under Chauncey Billups' tutelage?
I mean, he's gotten better in the sense of, like, he hadn't done anything in the league.
And now he's doing something.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that.
Yeah, okay.
But outside of that, is Scoot getting any better? Like,
what are they good at?
Right. What's their strength? So
they're dead last in the NBA offense.
One listener texting in, why aren't Sharp, Henderson, Klingon playing more minutes in these blowouts? I don't. They already played in the fourth quarter. They need as much run as possible. That's my whole. Like, what?
We sat Scoot so Delano Banton could be our closer.
Yes.
And
win us a game that hurts us in tanking and also hurts him in development. So, I don't know what the goal is.
The writing has been on the wall since last year when he leaked Chris Mannix that he wanted to be a Suns coach.
Yes, that happened this summer.
It was either the summer or it was the last season. I can't remember because it's, you know, all been a blur. But, dude, it's just like, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping he finally hits a breaking point and walks away, because I don't know if the organization is going to actually do
pay him
about
to
that.
Leave.
They paid for a new TV situation, so maybe they would.
Did they? We're on an antenna. My antenna was cutting out last night.
It was awful last night.
Missed a chunk of the second quarter. Really, I was like, screw this, dude. I'm flipping back over to Sunday Night Football. I'm not watching this garbage. Did you catch this yesterday morning?
Verstappen, Angriff.
Oh!
No.
Fünf-Yard-Strafen. It's by the center. It's third down.
Oh, look at Sean Hockley.
Here we go. Showing up.
He is...
Sean Hockley went German in the
call. The best thing of that game was that
his dad did that,
German.
I guess, in Mexico back in the day. I didn't remember
Spanish.
That.
Or
yeah,
Spanish,
it was a Monday night
They're
game
playing in
like
Mexico
05
or something.
Boy, dad's got way bigger guns than Sean.
Way bigger guns than Sean, no doubt about
now,
that.
Is that a substance situation, or is that just a lack of lifting the way Pops does?
If I was an NFL official and the lead official, I'd consider taking steroids.
Really?
Yeah, you're on TV. That's a lot of
free
to be buff.
Same,
it's a lot of TV time. I want to look good doing it.
Are they under the same PED restrictions as
I highly doubt it.
Why would they need to be?
I don't know.
Maybe they need more. For as bad as they've been this year, they probably need more PEDs.
Do you respect refs when they're a little more built than a run-of-the-mill old flabby guy?
I do. Yeah,
really?
I do. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe the fit ones are the worst ones. I don't know.
I do like to tell myself, even when they call bad calls, there's something a little more trustworthy when a guy that looks like he's in shape is telling me what happened. It makes me think he's actually following it the right way.
There's definitely something to do that.
Whereas, like, the guy who's barely able to run up the sideline because he's overweight throws the flag.
First down, there was a 5-yard penalty, and then it was like, yeah, I don't know if I can respect you, man. I don't know if I can. I'm not going to get to the other fun with audio. We'll get to that tomorrow.
Oh, I got some more audio. NFL Factoid Tuesday, baby.
Ooh, I can't wait. Chauncey Billups era be done in Portland? 84% of you saying yes.
Most of the responses are, he's losing, keep him there.
I know. When shopping with your significant other, do you openly sigh when they walk down an aisle twice? 60% of you say yes. And do you hate Eli Drinkwitz? 73% of you say no. All right.
They don't let him bother them the way he bothers you.
You should.
Because they don't give Missouri the time of day.
Yeah, and I don't. Yeah, I shouldn't either. And maybe that's a lesson for me.
Put him on the dirty pole. Yeah. I hate that team.
That's one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done, to be honest with you.
It's okay.
I regret it. Every day, every waking hour of my life, I will regret that until the day that I die.
We all swing and miss.
Are we excited for Monday Night Football?
I'm mildly curious about Monday Night Football.
Rams are 5-1 to win the division. Do they look good tonight?
Does Tyreek Hill play for them? That's the big question.
This is the Dolphins season.
Does Tua survive?
No, let's not. The Bills have a 5-game divisional lead.
That division's over, man. That thing's over. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. If you miss any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video if you're watching right now. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.